Welcome, good people of the internet. This is the Present Barber Podcast. I'm your host, Nelson Carmona. And on this podcast, we share stories from the hair industry and the unique people in it. Today's guest, we have Chico Boom. We discuss what it is to have success behind the chair, beyond the chair, and how to leverage your network for your legacy. I hope you enjoy the episode. Let's get started. Welcome, everybody, to the Present Barber Podcast. I'm your host, Nelson Carmona. And today, our special guest is Boom. What's going on, Boom?
Boom. What's up, brother?
It's going good, man. So, I appreciate you coming on to the show.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. So, what we usually start with in the show and stuff like that is kind of a timeline of, like, finding out where people started barbering and stuff like that. So, and it goes for different people in different times of their life. Did you start off early with the barbering or more in the teenage years or in your 20s?
Well, actually, the first time I, you know, picked up a pair of clippers was before my teenage years. I was 11 years old.
Wow.
And my father asked, you know, what we all wanted from the stores, the department stores, Walmart back then, but it wasn't a super Walmart. They were small little department stores or whatever. So I picked up a pair of clippers for whatever reason and started experimenting with my brother and then started cutting my own hair.
Gotcha.
You know, my mom coming in there, hitting us with the broom, you know, Spanish, typical Spanish mom, you know what I mean? Yeah. Attacking us with the flip flop and stuff. But that's when I started. It was 11. So I started, you know, relatively early. Yeah.
That's pretty early for most people. I know I didn't get started until like, my 20s and all that stuff.
So. Yeah, a lot of people do nowadays. You see a lot more people taking it up in the later years. You know, late teens or early 20s. So to me, that was late for me. You know, when you look at people like that, but it doesn't take away from the fact that I've seen people in their late 20s pick it up and become better than people that started around the time I started. So just depends.
So going to the store and all that stuff, what made you pick out the clipper? Do you remember what it was?
I being influenced back then by Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Kid and Play, watching those type of movies and then looking at our haircuts, and my mom was a single mom, you know, and our father used to get us on the weekend, that sort of deal. He never brought us to the barbershop.
Yeah.
Which I feel is important, you know, nowadays for a father to have that bonding time with their child in the barbershop. For whatever reason, he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. My mother used to cut our own hair.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, our hair, and it was awful. Just awful haircuts, you know?
Yeah.
And just got tired of looking at it, you know, like I was comparing haircuts that I would see on TV shows and music videos, MTV and stuff like that. And, you know, some of the kids in school and looking at my haircut, and I realized and identifying early that there was something wrong with my haircut, you know? So we just got to experimenting.
Yeah. So, out of that interest, where did it spawn into thinking of it more as a career, or as gaining money or doing different people and stuff?
Well, when I realized I could capitalize off of it when I was in high school, and a lot of the, you know, my friends at that time were skipping school and stuff like that, and coming over to my house, hanging out in the back patio and that sort of thing, and, you know, experimenting with their hair and cutting. I was better by then. By the time I was, you know, picked it up at 11, by the time I was 15 in high school, you know, I had to add somewhat of a foundation already, you know. So, you know, charging $5 a cut on the back porch. So when I realized, like, I could make money off of this, that's when I turned it into, like, a real hustle, you know.
Yeah. How long was it until you, like, went into a shop or anything like that?
I went into a shop around 18, 19,
okay,
around there. Went to my first shop. Only worked at one shop, 8 years. Did that. And then, you know, during that time, hit a little bump in the road. I was incarcerated and stuff like that. And when I got out, I went back to work at that same shop. I worked there for about 2 years, and then I opened up my own shop.
Wow. So if you don't mind speaking about that time, because I, you know, following you on social media and being, I have to be a stalker or whatever before the interviews and all that stuff. I did see a post during the Mother's Day that you did post and were able to share that, you know, and I think that's important for that vulnerability. Getting out of that hard time or whatever and going back and, you know, within 2 years getting ready to open up your own shop, what did that change you as far as like where you wanted to to ship off your energy in the barber industry?
Yeah, I think anytime anyone's incarcerated, is either gonna, you know, you're either gonna, you know, get deeper into that lifestyle or you're gonna pull out, because when you're in there, it's just as bad as on the streets. You know, it just, you got to make that choice. And I looked around and said that I wanted more out of life than just being locked up and someone telling me when I can use the bathroom, when I can take a shower, when I can eat. You know, I'm more of a rebel. I don't like rules. And I was just like, it's too many rules. It was too much, you know, people on top of you. It's too many, you know, just a bunch of men, you know. I didn't want to be around that. So I knew that life and God had a better purpose for me, a bigger purpose. So I said, you know what? I have this talent. I'm artistic. You know, I've always been able to draw and paint and things like that. So I express myself through hair. I have this thing that, you know, I can make money off of. And continue to express my art through cutting hair. Let me just focus on this, you know. I always did well in the barbershop prior to my incarceration, so I knew I could really make it. You know, I just needed to go harder and focus more on that instead of trying to juggle two different lifestyles.
Yeah.
So once I did that, you know, and going full throttle those first 2 years. I mean, look, when you're in prison, it's going to teach you discipline. It's going to teach you structure. It's going to teach you. To appreciate life, to appreciate family, to appreciate, you know, your freedom. So your perspective is going to be different when you get out. For the most part, like I said, other people go back into that.
Yeah.
So just when, you know, full throttle, a person with a mindset like that, a person who's, you know, shifts their mindset and the way they view things when they get out of prison, you know, that's a dangerous person. And, you know, that person is ready to conquer. That person is ready to take over. That person can do more in a little bit of time than someone who's been free and hasn't been incarcerated. With the right mindset, you can really do a lot. So that's why it only took me about 2 years, 2.5 years to open up my first shop. I was a dangerous individual to deal with at that time. I was a force. And it was because of that mindset that prison installed in me, you know, and that I was accepting to. Because if you're not accepting to change to a different perspective, to a different mindset, then you're not going to get anywhere. It's not going to work for you.
Yeah. As far as mindset and stuff like that, did you feel that you just had to have your own as far as, or, you know, I mean, this was I know you just celebrated an anniversary of the shop and all that stuff, which right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
At that time, did you just see your path of, I need to open up a shop to have my own space?
Well, I liked the shop I was at. I didn't like some of the people in there. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the vibe in there. Mm-hmm. I didn't like, you know, the gentleman who owned the shop, you know, we're still friends to this day. Mm-hmm. And he still gets a haircut with me. So it wasn't nothing towards him, but he wasn't a barber and he wasn't always there dealing with the, you know, the stuff that happens in a barber shop.
Yeah.
So it just got to a point where I was really turned off. Yeah. And I offered to buy it off of him because I was going to buy it and restructure it. I was already running the place. Mm-hmm. That didn't work out for whatever reason. But, you know, like the old saying goes, God closes one door to open up another one. And the one that he opened for me, which was a much bigger door. And I'm happy for all of the blessings, lessons, and experiences.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's your Boom, Chico Boom. The shop is called Boom's Barbershop. I've always seen you tie in that branding so hard and going hard for that. What was it necessary to name it that, just because it ties into yourself? This is you.
Well, I never chose the name Chico Boom. That was a name that a dear friend of mine gave me.
And okay,
he's older than me, so he was the big brother, little brother type of, you know, that sort of deal, that sort of relationship. So that was a name that was given to me on the streets, and it meant something. Mm. And the name, I wanted it to be remembered for good instead of bad. Right? So everybody on the streets and the community, my friends, they already call me Chico, Chico Boom, or Boom for short. So a lot of people refer to me as Boom. So when I, even in prison, a lot of people recognize me and my name, and that name has always stuck with me. What that name was going to be remembered for was my decision ultimately. So I was thinking of, you know, I was pondering different names and stuff like that about, you know, from the barbershop. And I didn't want to go with Ivan's Barbershop. I didn't want to go. I wanted something that was catchy and would stand out. Like when you say Boom's Barbershop, it's like, why Boom's? What does that have to do with anything? But it's a catchy name that someone will remember. It's different, you know, than super cuts or exclusive cuts, and not to knock anybody that has these names for their shops, but there's a lot of them, you know, the VIP cuts and, and splendid cuts and, you know, all these different names that I've heard all around the country, you know, I just wanted something different, and there's no other Booms Barbershop, right? Yeah. So go with Booms Barbershop. And again, people, you know, because it's plural, it's for, you know, for my name, Booms Barbershop. So that turned into, you know, Worldwide Boom, which is a company I started, a consulting company. But yeah, tying it all together was important for me because it, I already had something there.
Yeah.
It was like, why not build off of that? You know what I mean? So that was that whole sort of deal.
Well, even watching you, you know, seeing that you were a shop owner and all that stuff. And a lot of people stop at that, that point of like, all right, I own my shop. This is where I'm going to be until I die type of thing, you know? And talking a little bit about your consulting stuff, what made you, what sparked the interest of going outside of, you know, just being a shop owner? Did it, were you at a plateau and you're like, I need to find something else? Like,
You know, me being a shop owner, you know, opening the first shop turned into me opening up another Booms Barbershop. And then the goal at that time was to keep opening up a bunch of barbershops. But I realized that I didn't want that headache. It, it was a headache that I didn't want because I didn't feel that it was going to serve the purpose that I, you know, as to why I was here. Through, you know, I, if I can have all these barbershops, that, that'd have been cool and building up my name and accumulating wealth or whatever. But it wasn't going to let me reach that, that level that I wanted to. I felt like there was a much higher level than just opening a bunch of barbershops. And not knocking anyone who has multiple shops. They're doing great things because they're providing workplaces for people to be able to feed their families. So salute to any anyone who owns multiple shops and can deal with that. I personally did not want to deal with that. And you need partners once at that point. You can't run a bunch of shops by yourself. You're going to need some partners and stuff. And I didn't want to deal with partners and that sort of deal. So that got me into having an urge to want to travel and see the world a little bit more. So I met a gentleman by the name of Curtis Smith. And everybody knows him in the hair industry. And he had a tour going on. And I'm just trying to sum this all up. You know, so going, being around Curtis, you know, he became a mentor towards me and showed me a different side of the beauty industry. Well, that turned into me meeting a gentleman by the name of DL Master Barber. DL Master Barber, me and him went to talking, and he was already doing motivational speaking and so forth. And he invites me to Tampa one day and says, come do this motivational speech with me or whatever. Just tell your story.
Yeah,
I was a little rougher around the edges back then. It was a lot more raw and uncut, unfiltered sort of deliverance. And he said, you have a great story. You have great presence. You have a great deliverance. You need to clean this and that up. So he started mentoring me, told me to join Toastmasters International, that sort of thing. Well, that turned into different companies reaching out to me, you know, hearing about me or whatever, because I was moving around and doing these speeches and stuff like that. So when I saw the feedback from the people that really wanted more, that's what Worldwide Boom turned into. After the boom, you know, like it's like the Big Bang Theory, right? The big bang, the big boom, right? The big boom, what comes after that is change, you know, an explosion. Boom is an explosion. Poof, everything's like wiped out.
Yeah.
And you start fresh. And that's what Worldwide Boom, that worldwide change. And that's what that comes from. So I wanted to continue to help people, consult people, small startup companies, people that needed life skills, coaching and stuff like that. I was doing that individually, one-on-one. We're actually launching a program next month. So it's going to be something that you, an actual course, instead of me personally consulting with you, is an actual course that anybody could take at, you know, 24 hours a day, you know, different time frames or whatever. So that kind of like led into that. But again, going back to the purpose, what, you know, what I wanted to fulfill on earth while I'm here, my mission, and it's always been helping people, always. So that's what that led to that.
Yeah. I think about, you know, that's definitely finding your legacy and your purpose and all that stuff. What did you do to get to that point? I know there's a lot of people that, you know, are behind the chair. They don't necessarily know where they're at or what they want to do. It's kind of just kind of blowing in the wind. You know, did you take the time to sit down and analyze yourself? Or was it a natural organic growth? You know,
I think it was naturally organic, being that number one, I wasn't afraid and I took the chances. Mm. And I think that fear holds people back from doing the things that they want to do and taking chances. You know, if you're scared, you're not going to take the chances necessary. You got to gamble sometimes and say, you know, this is going to be it. I believe in myself, you know, and putting those positive affirmations out into the universe and saying, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to become this person. I'm going to become that person. I'm going to touch these people. And it was that sort of mindset, you know. But if you're behind the chair right now and wondering what's next, because everybody hits that fork in the road where you're looking at life and saying, do I continue to do this for another 10 years? Like, there's only so much that your body could take. We walk away from that chair at the end of the day with our shoulders hurting, our knees hurting, our backs hurting. How much more of that can your body take? So you have to, at some point, take a shift, you know, make a shift in your life and in your career and take the chances that you want to take, you know, the ones you believe in. And if you fail, it was a lesson. It was no, you have to fail sometimes in order to learn from that. You know what I mean? So it's all right with that. People think that they have to do it right and they have to do it right away. You know, give it a shot, give it another shot, give it another shot. Eventually you're going to crack that code, you know? So that was my thing. I was at that fork and I just wanted something more than just cutting hair. Cutting hair is a great platform. It's a great stepping stone for the what's next, you know, to get to that next level, because you're going to meet so many interesting, great individuals. You're going to meet some knuckleheads and some people that, you know, you're going to deal with the nonsense or whatever, but you're going to meet some genuinely great people and you want to tap into those people.
Yeah.
So my advice really would be for the barbers that's watching this and the stylists that are watching this, talk. Communication is key, and a lot of people don't talk. It drives me crazy to see people with headphones on while they're cutting hair. Yeah, it's the most ridiculous, dumbest, stupidest thing you could do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because you have a person right in front of you and you don't know what that person could do for you or what you could do for that person. So my thing would be communication, talk. If I didn't talk to half of the people that sat in my chair, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
Yeah.
You know, I've met some great people. I've developed some great relationships. And a lot of business opportunities presented themselves because of me talking to them. Yeah. So my biggest tip is communication.
Yeah.
Talk to that person, entertain that person, let it be an experience for them and get to know that person, build off of that. And you know what's gonna really develop from that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that definitely goes into you know, the power of the voice and, you know, looking at you and you know, your branding and all that stuff. I feel like that's so important of how you've been able to move through the industry. As far as, you know, using that voice outside of the shop too, you know, I saw something, it was funny as a joke or whatever, but we're in 2021, so it might not be a joke, but it was like, booms for mayor or whatever. You recently were in the city and all that stuff, speaking for the city. You know, we don't have to get into to the politics of it or whatever, but why do you seem that's important? You know, I feel like, you know, you've tied yourself so much into Fort Myers and, you know, just being a barber, you're in your city and all that stuff. But what's the importance of that to you to get involved in that?
I think the importance is so many people get wrapped up, right, in trying to be famous. They want that Insta fame. They want that TikTok fame. Yeah, they want that Facebook fame. My thing is, build within your community. Build that fame first, because these are going to be the people that's going to support you in every way, shape, or form. You have to be grounded and rooted in your community if you're a business owner. You have to. You can't be thinking about what's going on. I can't worry about booms, you know, being acknowledged in New York or Vegas or Chicago without being acknowledged here. What does Ivan Suarez stand for? What does Boom's Barbershop stand for? What does the Black Sheep Men's Parlor stand for? What does Worldwide Boom Consultant stand for? Right. And it starts with community.
Yeah.
If you don't build off your community, like, how can you really say that you love your city? How can you say that you love your people?
Yeah.
How can you say that you're doing something for your city? Just because you own a barbershop in a community doesn't mean you're doing for the community. You're offering them a service and they're paying you for that. And that's it. You give some backpacks away during back to school. Great job. Okay. You know, you do some turkey drives. Great. Toy drives. Okay, good. Yeah. You're doing, you know, you're celebrating these holidays with the community, but what are you really doing for the community? Are you going to these meetings? Mm-hmm. Are you going to these council meetings? Are you there, you know, voicing your opinion? Are you going in there trying to make a change? And I think that that's where it starts. You got to, you know, get uncomfortable and go to these places and sacrifice your time. Yeah, you could be at home eating dinner with your family, but guess what? Your family is going to benefit from the, you know, decisions that are made in City Hall, and your voice is going to be heard. So speaking up and it really, you know, makes a difference. So you want to be community oriented in all aspects of it. You want to be connected and rooted within the community. And I think that's part of it. It's very important.
Yeah.
But me putting Boone for mayor was putting out there into the universe, I don't know if I'm going to run for mayor in a few years. Yeah. You know, I know I could win.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I know that I got enough people on both sides, corporate and the streets, that love me, that support me, and that will back me up 100%. I bet you there'll be more minorities voting that day than any other in history in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking blacks and Latinos because I'm rooted within my community.
Yeah.
You know, and on the other side, you know, I'm rooted with a lot of great business people, you know, white collar people that, you know, really make some important decisions. So absolutely, I win without a doubt, you know, but will I run? I don't know. I was just putting out there into the universe and seeing, but the feedback was crazy. Just by me putting that.
Yeah,
you know
for
what
sure.
I mean?
Like, I noticed so it or whatever. Yeah.
DMs and messages and I'll vote for you. I'll vote for you. I'll vote for you. So I know 100% that I win.
Yeah. And I think too, it's being barbers or whatever. And, you know, talking about using your voice and being, you know, having our ear to the ground of like, what's actually going on in the community? What are the big problems? You know, when big events do happen, a lot of people put that onto us or, oh, you know, this road's jammed up, da da da, and all that stuff. Oh, I didn't know that, you know?
Correct.
Yeah. As far as like tying into that history and all that stuff, why did you, I guess, decide to stay in Fort Myers? Is this like your home and all that stuff?
Well, you know, it's my hometown. Yeah, my children are here. My family's here. My businesses are here.
Yeah.
So that's why I stay here. I always say that I live in the world because I travel so much and I'm always moving around and stuff like that, you know, prior to this whole Corona situation.
Yeah.
And I was living on the road. So I live in the world. I sleep in Fort Myers. You know what I mean?
So
it was that sort of mindset. You appreciate Fort Myers when you go to these bigger cities and you travel so much. And I know people probably can't understand it, but that's because they haven't been nowhere. You know,
you actually
move around the way I was moving around. Because it's one thing to go on a little, you know, vacation to Universal Studios or New York or Vegas. But it's when you're literally living out of a luggage bag, you know, when you're sitting there, you know, from hotel to hotel to hotel, you really appreciate Fort Myers. It's slower traffic. It's not so populated. They have clean, beautiful beaches.
Yeah.
It's laid back. And I like that. I like that for me. And I like that for my children as well.
Yeah. What's been like the most important, I guess, lesson you've learned being on the road? Was it just that appreciation for home?
Yeah, definitely that appreciation for home. That's key. You know, and you know, what my biggest lesson was time.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have all the time in the world.
Mm.
And while you're making these moves and you're moving around, time is passing.
Yeah.
Your kids are growing up, they're getting older, and you're missing out on a lot of important things. That's why I view this whole Corona thing as a blessing. You know, it happened and it slowed me down a little bit, allowed me to, you know, calculate my thoughts, see what my next moves were going to be.
Yeah.
I think it was like a little revamp or refresh or restart button for everyone. Definitely is that whole family thing, you know, missing my kids, my nieces and nephews, my sister, my brother, like, you know, my family, like just, you know, all that time that was spent. Sometimes you get back and you don't even know them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, yeah, we did this, we did that, we did this. And it's like, wow, was I really gone that long?
Mm-hmm.
And so that made me look at things different. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, is it just finding that balance of, you know, wanting to, you know, have that legacy, but also not missing out?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, you have to have that balance. And it's hard. It's hard. You know, the more successful you become, the more busier you become. And it all goes hand in hand. You know, I've talked to some really successful people in my life, you know, that graced my chair. And I asked them, and, you know, the response is 1 hour, 2 hours with their kids. And it's, to me, that's not enough, you know, and they're sacrificing everything in order to reach those levels of success. for generational wealth. Mm-hmm. You see, they're doing it for their children, their children's children, and so forth.
Yeah.
And so it's a question that you got to ask yourself, do I really want this? Do I really want this?
Yeah.
Or do I want the more normal, laid back life? Because you can't have both.
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely. I wanted to speak on too. So you've been pretty advocate of promoting this brand on your IG. I believe it's called It's Just Parkinson's.
Right, correct.
So I'd like to touch on that just because, you know, speaking about community and being back home and tying in with that or whatever. I see you going hard for this brand and all that stuff. Could you give us a little bit of a backstory on that?
It's Just Parkinson's came about with a dear friend of mine named John Cullen. John Cullen is 62 years old, and he is a machine. If you look at him, he looks like the Terminator. You know, he's just jacked up, solid, athletic.
Yeah.
You know, when you think athlete, you think John Cullen. Mm. You know, he was a bicyclist in his early years, and real slim, cut up guy. Now he's bulked up. He looks like phenomenal.
Yeah.
And when I met John, I had no idea that he had Parkinson's. You look at him and you think of Parkinson's, you look at someone that's frail and, you know, fragile, about to break. And this guy's a rock, a solid machine. And we went to talking and we developed a beautiful, beautiful friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I love him dearly.
Yeah.
He's a great, great inspiration. He's a hero to a lot of people, including myself. He is just... When you're talking about motivation and inspiration, this is the person who pops up in my mind, right? So we've partnered up and we're pushing It's Just Parkinson's to bring awareness.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be people's rock, that their hope, their light.
Yeah.
You know, we want to inspire people and use his story as that testimony. Like, hey, this is what he's doing with this disease. It's not kicking him in the ass, he's kicking the disease in the ass. And every day he wakes up and he has to face this monster every single day of his life. It's changed him. It's altered him. So I didn't really have a full understanding of everything that comes with Parkinson's. But when you really get deep into it, like, he's educated me so much on all his the mood swings and the different things that happen to his body. And it's just a nonstop roller coaster. And every day is a new battle for him. You don't know if it's going to hit him. You know, this wave is going to be intense. It's going to be light.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know. So every day is like a new challenge for him. And when I hear these stories and I've seen him at his high points and I've seen him at his low points, it's like that wow factor for me. Mm-hmm. So I attach myself to it. He asked me to be part of it. And I'm shining light on it and bringing awareness, because it's not just about Parkinson's. It's about having that warrior mindset. And we call it an IJP mindset. It's just Parkinson's mindset. And if you look at the logo, it's Atlas holding up IJP, you know, and people that don't know who Atlas was, he was the figure holding up the world or whatever. But you have all this weight on your shoulder. You know, it's a constant battle, and you're lifting it and you're keeping it off of you. And that's the whole point. You never give up. You're never buckling up. You're never laying down. You're going at this thing full throttle. You know, it's that David and Goliath. It's that gladiator in the arena, you know. So to have that sort of mindset that he has, that disciplined mindset, that warrior's mindset, that conqueror's mindset, that fighter's mindset. I think that if more people had that mindset in their life, they would accomplish so much more, you know, and they wouldn't let things, situations, or people, you know, circumstances beat them up. You know, it's just incredible. You have people with cancer, you know, that's fighting cancer every day. That's an IJP mindset, you know, to be able to be mentally strong to fight this thing, not just physically, but mentally. There's people that's dealing with lupus. There's people that's dealing with, you know, just whatever circumstances, whatever hurdle that life is throwing at you, disease, whether it be physical, emotional, dealing with toxic people in your life, whatever, having that IJP mindset of not giving up.
Yeah.
You know, so again, that rock, that light, and that hope. For people, and it's a beautiful thing.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. So talking about mindset a little bit, and you did mention it a little bit earlier about Black Sheep. So to bring this to light to people, whatever, outside of Boone's Barbershop, you also own Black Sheep,
right?
You had a posting or whatever that I found interesting, that a lot of people have copied the look of this shop, but I want people to to copy the concept of this shop.
Right.
So I want to dig in a little bit of that and all that stuff, because it is a different concept. So if you can kind of give us a quick breakdown of what that concept is as Black Sheep, more than just a barbershop.
Well, the Black Sheep is a 21 and up, no women, no kids, men's parlor. So we don't service children and we don't service women. We don't discriminate against them, because right around the corner, I got Boom's Barbershop, and that's for everybody. But I wanted to create a space for men, you know, where men can talk amongst each other, where they can have a cigar, drink a whiskey, and have real life-changing conversations. Mm. You want to mimic the look? Fine. You know, go ahead. I can't stop you, you know, and that's all you. But, it, you know, mimic the concept, because I think that if more places had this concept in established into their structure, I think that we as a whole would come together to do more with each other. And this goes back to me going down to the city council. These are conversations that started here at the Black Sheep. We talk about real estate. We talk about the market. We talk about just, you know, life-changing points of views. And you know, you've had people that have had disagreements in here, like civilized men, and being able to talk about it and leave here still disagreeing on their points of views, but shaking hands and walking out. And you're talking about two people from two different walks of life.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be their race or their background, you know, their upbringing, whatever. So I just felt like having something like this in the community was very important, you know, where men can sit down and talk amongst men. Women have it. They have salons and they talk their girl talk. And, you talk about whatever you guys want to talk about, drinking mimosas or your wines and stuff like that. But I wanted something for men, you know, so it reminds me of the statues that we have downtown, and you have Edison, you have Ford, and you have Firestone sitting there by a pond. They're thinking and they're talking. Mm. And I think that, you know, ideas form from that, you know, and people feed off each other. Steel, you know, sharpens steel, iron sharpens iron, like the scripture says. So I think that a lot of beautiful things develop from that. And that's what I encourage all my barbers to do when they reach that certain point in their life, when they're not in their 20s anymore, when they're reaching 40 like myself, that you change your mindset as well and stop, you know, with the foolishness. Because in our 20s, we're doing foolishness.
Yeah,
you know, the conversations that we're having in these barbershops, what we're doing, the pranks, and that's all cool and fun, because I've been there and I loved it. And I would never change anything about that. But I would definitely change my mindset once I reach a certain age of maturity where I'm able to say, what's next? How can I impact the community? How can I impact society? How can I impact the world? And I think that it all starts through deep conversations, whether you agree with someone or not, you know, different points of views and different ideas, and bringing them all together at the table. And that's what we do here at the Black Sheep.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's gorgeous in here. I'm going to probably get some B-roll shots of the shop before I'm out of here and all that stuff. But no, I enjoy that energy, because being in, you know, coming out of the 2020, the pandemic stuff and all that stuff, I feel like that used to be an old school way of having a barbershop, of like, people can just come here, any walk of life, and just have open conversations.
That's it. Yeah. And it's appointment only. We have a buzzer on the door, so you have to make an appointment. We don't have a phone ringing in here. It's very quiet. Very tranquil. We have sports playing on one TV muted while jazz is playing on the other one. We have candles lit. We have a courtyard in the back.
Yeah.
It's very upscale, very nice, very private. But a lot of barbers haven't been able to make it here, you know, because you have to have your own. We're on the back road. You know, you can't see this place. You have to have your own clientele. It just showed me how far behind, you know, some of these barbers are, you know, where you're still trying to build clientele 10 years later. And it's like, if 10 years later, you should have a solid clientele. Yeah. And people, don't get me wrong, people die, people move, people fire you and find another barber. But to have a solid clientele, I got guys I've been cutting 15 years, 18 years, 19 years. You know, to have that, it just shows you the difference between, you know, some of these guys, you know, and myself. But, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn. All I'm saying that if you put a proper structure into what you have going on, and you build those solid relationships, you know, 10 years from now, you could be in a really, really, really good place, you know, and you don't need to be sitting there waiting for a walk-in or trying to promote yourself. You know, you let people do it for you, and that word of mouth and that sort of business. I call it quality control. Mm. I don't go out there looking for nobody.
Gotcha.
I let my people bring in their people and keep me busy and keep me booked up. I call it quality control. That's very key. I don't want walk-ins off the road no more, off the streets. That's fine for Boone's Barbershop. Those are young. That's a young, talented, very, very, very good staff that I have there. All the walk-ins, they'll take care of them. They're still building themselves. I'm at a point now where I don't want the walk-ins. I want people that I can continue to build off of through people that I've already built with.
Yeah. Now, talking about that, having those two sides of the coin and all that stuff and talking about your team over there, I did see that you just made one of the barbers, like the head barber at Boom's Barbershop.
Correct.
Female
at that.
Yeah.
Female at that. And that's important, but we'll get into that. But
come into that, you know, I think it's hard to trust other people, you know, to a certain extent with your business, your baby, especially something that's been around for so long. So what were the steps that you had to take to figure out this is the person I'm going to kind of give the keys to take care of this while I'm doing my other ventures, you know, keeping track of your time and all that stuff? What were the things you looked out for and, you know, encourage other maybe barbershop owners that are trying to do more than the shop and can leave it to somebody?
Well, I'm looking at character. I'm looking at someone's loyalty. I'm looking at the way they carry themselves. Mm-hmm. Boone's Barbershop has never had an official manager. We always just had people, you know, I've had great barbers that work for me that developed into friendships.
Yeah.
And because they were my friends.
Yeah.
You know, my personal friends. They looked out for the shop a lot, so I didn't really need a manager.
Yeah.
Well, people come, people go inside of a barbershop. The staff changes, and I have a complete new staff that, you know, I don't have none of the old guys there no more.
Yeah.
You know, I think my last guy to leave was Carlos, and Carlos had been there with me 10 years.
Wow.
You know, so he wasn't really watching over the shop anymore. And he was at a point where he was financially set. Like, he really did some incredible things, and he got into real estate now, and, you know, he's doing that whole, you know, flipping homes, and
it's
God bless him for that. It's going really well for that. So he was able to retire after 10 years from cutting hair.
That's awesome.
And when I tell you this guy's financially set, he's financially set.
Yeah, he's good.
You know what I mean? He did a lot of great moves with his money, and he listened, most importantly. But anyway, I didn't have Carlos there, so we have this new staff, you know, and I'm just looking around, and I said, I can't keep giving this that sort of energy anymore. I have to focus on different things. But I started looking at, again, character. I started looking at how this individual carried herself. The fact that she was a female. Now I don't downplay a female's potential, because I know that, you know, a female can do a better job than a man can in any given time. You know, it's an even playing field when it comes to these businesses and that sort of thing. But in the barber industry, we tend to downplay women, you know, female barber. I mean, a barber is a barber, correct?
Yeah.
But this individual just showed me how hard she was willing to go to build herself. And when I met her in hair school, to years later, her working for me and being there that long.
Yeah.
I'm looking at how unselfish she is, you know, and when I needed her, she was always there. She was a dependable person, someone I could rely on, someone I could trust. Everything's on point. You know, the conversations, calling her every day, her calling me. And I just didn't see a better person but her for that position. You know, respected amongst her peers and her colleagues. The other barbers look up to her. She's always willing to teach, you know, and, you know, show the other barbers, you know, what they're doing wrong or what they could do better, you know. And I always give her the advice that a good leader creates leaders. So me being a good leader, I had to create another leader, which in turn, she's going to create other leaders behind her.
Absolutely.
And that's how this whole thing goes. But great, great person.
That's awesome. I know we're getting close to the around the time and all that stuff. So there's a couple more points I want to hit. I seen a post of not comparing yourself, which I think is important, especially in this time of Instagram, TikTok, instant gratification stuff. Could you speak more on that, of like what it is to focus on yourself and not have that outside influence you, but just be on your trail?
I think that a lot of people now, because of technology and where we're at with it, we tend to look at other people.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to look at their life. we tend to compare it. Where am I, and where are they? And then we want what they have, mm-hmm. you know, for whatever selfish reasons, we think that we're entitled to that. Mm. We don't know how hard that person worked to get there. Number one. Number two, we don't even know if that's a false illusion that that person is feeding us on their social media. So here we get so caught up watching these other people and comparing, you know, or he has a Benz and, you know, I have a Honda, mm-hmm. you know, not understanding that that Honda is going to outlive that Benz. Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like the people's like, it's crazy. It's mind boggling. So I think that we get so caught up in that, that we don't really focus on ourselves. We're so focused on other people. Mm-hmm. And if we focused on ourselves and we focused on our dreams, on our visions, on our aspirations and that sort of thing, we would get a lot further than the person that we're actually watching. And I think that we need to step back and stop looking at other people. You're exactly where you're supposed to be at. Mm. Okay. So if you don't work hard at what it is that you want to become, mm-hmm. you're right where you're supposed to be, because you know, you're stuck behind, you're stuck in that position, you're at pause, but you're exactly where you need to be. Now, if you're working hard towards mm-hmm. your goals, towards your ambitions, towards your dreams, then you're going to be right where you need to be as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you might be in the process or you might have gotten there already, but you're always right where you're supposed to be based on your performance, based on what you're doing, based on your focus. On everything, you are exactly where you need to be. Mm. So if we stop looking at other people and start looking at ourselves and say, what can I do different in order to get different results?
Yeah.
You the only way you're going to get different results is by doing different things, you know, a different strategy, a different work ethic, a different discipline, you know, by working different towards what it is that you're trying to accomplish. That's the only way you're going to see different results. But by staring at other people, watching other people, complaining about why you don't have what they have or are there, you know, you're never gonna be or get there to where it is that you need to be, because where you need to be is different than where that person is, you know, or wants to be, because you are you and that person is them. You have to create your own lane. You got to create your own end goal, you know, and reach those levels, but you have to do it according to you. You can't do it according to them and how they're living.
I think that's super important. I know, especially early in my career, whatever, I would compare even my haircuts and all that stuff or whatever, but you know, I haven't put in enough work. I haven't hustled like that. I haven't cut enough heads to be in that position. Right.
But it's just a perception that we have, because we're watching so many other people. We didn't like in my era, we didn't have social media in the 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the newspaper. We had, you know, National Enquirer. You know what I mean? We had TV and that was it.
Yeah.
And radio. But now you're able to pick up this device, mm-hmm. right? It's a computer in your hand. Mm-hmm. And you're able to log on here. And you're able to, you know, just look at just about anybody anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And we start. And that's where the misconception comes in, that we have to be where that person is at. I got to be where I'm at, and I got to be happy with where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, as long as I'm fulfilled that way, like, nothing else matters. I don't really care what the next person is doing, what they've have accumulated, you know, how rich they are, how rich they portray to be, how wealthy, you know, what that person has. Now, it's okay to have goals and say, I want that.
Okay.
But I'm not comparing that. I'm not saying, why don't I have that? And it's not fair. And or hating on that person because they got it. If they got it, salute to them. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I'll put that on my vision board. Yeah. You know what I mean? Absolutely. And maybe I'll put, you know, the car that I want, the home that I want, the family that I want. You know, maybe, and I'm just speaking in general. I think people need to think like that more. Mm-hmm. And just, it's okay to envision it.
Yeah.
But don't get obsessed with it to the point where you're not happy and you're complaining and you're comparing yourself every 2 minutes. You know, you got to be you. And I see so many women that, you know, want to be alike. Mm-hmm. Right. And I see so many men that want to be alike, and everybody's doing the same thing, and nobody is an original anymore. Everybody's just a copycat of someone else that they've seen or that they're watching or comparing to. And I think that we got to stop that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think definitely more originality, more spots like you're the black sheep and stuff like that, just having different concept of your work and all that stuff.
Correct.
Yeah. So as far as where people can find you and all that stuff, where can people, if they want to find your shop, check out your social media? And honestly, I'm really interested in that consulting thing. Do you guys have a website for it yet?
Yeah, worldwideboom.com.
Okay.
And they can go on there. There's some tweaking being done on the website right now. I mean, it's up, it's running and stuff like that. The programs will be attached next month.
Yeah.
And there are going to be some things that it's a couple of things that are outdated right now that are being revamped and stuff like that, but you can actually go on there and that sort of thing. So worldwideboom.com on that. Booms World on Instagram. DM me if you need, you know, any sort of help or guidance, advice. I'm always willing to. If I don't respond, try to find a way to make me aware that I got your message, because it sometimes the message is going to message requests. I can't get a hold of everybody at one time. It's not that I'm ignoring you. It's not that I think I'm brand new. I've heard it all. You know what I mean? Number one, I'm busy as hell. Patient. And number two, like, make me aware if you didn't try getting, if you didn't get a hold of me the first time.
Absolutely.
That sort of thing. We have the book, Success From Behind a Chair. That's still selling. You can go hit that on my link on Booms World, Big Cartel. We'll ship that to you. Facebook, Ivan Suarez, Chico Boom. You can find me on there. So we got a lot of great things happening this year. As far as the starting with the the website and the programs being launched and that sort of thing. We have It's Just Parkinson's, IJP. We're promoting that real big. We got the apparel right now that you're able to, you know, buy your IJP t-shirts. Go to itsjustparkinsons.com and you're able to wear that. And remember, it's not just about Parkinson's. It's about that IJP mindset, you know what I mean? And having that warrior, that conquerors sort of mindset, that determination. We have education going on with you know, private and in school education. So I'll be visiting a lot of schools this year. TED Talks, you know, Toastmasters, always, you know, rooted in that. And we got a big surprise September 11th. I don't want to say what, but I have a big surprise that I will be announcing. So everybody just stay tuned.
So definitely watch out for that. Now I'm curious too. I want to thank you for taking the time to do this interview. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
It's crazy just because we've known each other for such a long time, and just seeing your journey as, you know, when I met you, you know, if people don't know, Chico gave me my first job and my first discipline. But I really appreciate you taking the time and do this.
No, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Thank you so much, man.
Yep. All right. Till next time, everybody. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you found value in this, please share it with a friend, a fellow barber, leave a rating, subscribe to the channel, and follow us on social media. Until next time, everyone, stay present.